we had come up to the point of the boon of the Divine Mother to Ashwapati after the boon. He describes how the whole voice of the vision slowly withdrew as a flame disappears in endless light. Immortally extinguished in its source, vanished the splendor and was stilled the world. The noun is the splendor. The splendor of the vision vanished and the world was stilled, silenced. Then he gives an imagery. As a flame disappears in endless light, flame is the beginning, it ends in light. Immortally extinguished in its source, the flame has its source in light. Though to our vision it appears as if the flame is the beginning of the light, in truth, the flame itself is a derivation of the light. An echo of delight that once was close, that is her presence. Her words, they were echoing delight, the bliss, and that was so close, the harmony journeyed towards some distant hush, the harmony that prevailed moved away towards a distance, towards some hush, hush of the voice, hush of feeling, a music fading in the ear of trance. His was a ear of trance, concentrated. And the music that he was hearing in that mood is slowly fading away. A cadence called by distant cadences. Rhythm. Each rhythm disappears in a more distant rhythm. A voice that trembled into strains withdrawn as the vibrations get lower and lower. It looks as if the voice trembles away into strains of sound which are withdrawn from hearing. Her form retreated from the longing earth, forsaking nearness to the abandoned sense. Ashwapati has surrendered, abandoned his sense faculties, and in that state of abandonment, her form was near, but now It is giving up that nearness, retreating far from the earth which is longing for her. And where is it retreating? Ascending to her unattainable home, unattainable to humans, to us of the earth, lone, brilliant, vacant, lay the inner fields, in the being of Ashwapati. He has so extended himself that he is conscious only of the inner spaces in his being. And once the form has withdrawn, all these inner fields are lone, solitary, but brilliant, luminous, but vacant. She is not there to fill these spaces. Indifferent, waste, a desert of bright peace. No doubt there is a peace and a bright one too, but it feels like a waste, indifferent to what is happening. Now that she has withdrawn, there is a sense of futility. And if that is the state of Ashwapati, he is feeling everything around lonely, a desert, a line moved on the far edge of calm. He is surrounded in an ocean of calm, and on the far edge, the distant shore of that calm, a line moved. There is a movement. Something yields. And what's that? A quick and many murmured moan and laugh. I'm sorry. The warm-lipped, sentient, soft, terrestrial wave. There is a wave from the earth, from the terrestrial universe. It is soft, sentient, full of feeling, warm-lipped after this desert of bright peace. He brings the contrary image, the warm-lipped terrestrial wave. The wave from the earth life appears, soft, sentient, warm. A quick and many murmured moan and laugh, characteristic of our earth life, where moan and laughter, they always exist side by side. Many murmured, that wave brought that moan and that laugh, quick. Not a slow dragging process, came gliding in upon white feet of sound. Sound has started now. Now that the line leading to the earth horizon has appeared, the white feet of sound, pure, white to emphasize purity, the purest sound. The tread of the feet of sound comes gliding slowly without abrupt movement. unlocked was the deep glory of silence heart. He, till now, his was a status of silence. All was still and silent. Now, the heart of that silence is now slowly opened, unlocked. The inner glory of the silence was opened out. The absolute, unmoving stillnesses within him and around him surrendered to the breath of mortal air. Those vibrations of silence, stillness, immutable stillness, they yield to the touch of mortal air from below. And in the process, dissolving boundlessly the heavens of trance, the states of trance in which Ashwapati was holding himself, they are like heavens of rapture, and they are dissolved on all sides, collapse to waking mind. These heavens of trance collapsed into the state of the waking mind. There is a transition from the tranced state of mind beyond the thinking mind to the waking mind. Eternity cast down its incommunicable lids over its solitudes remote from ken, beyond the voiceless mystery of sleep, as the terrestrial universe slowly emerges into the experience belt of Ashwapati. There, eternity closes its lids, which you can't touch the reach them, and those lids put behind solitudes remote from ken, remote from human sight, behind the voiceless mystery of sleep. Sleep is a tranced sleep, not the inert sleep to which we are used. The grandiose respite failed the wide release. The magnificent respite, state of relaxed state, rest, that Ashwapati was having failed. That wide release which he had from the compulsions of time and space, that wide release failed. Across the light of far receding planes, those higher planes are fast receding backwards, up and up, backwards, very fast, that fled from him as from a falling star. He is compared to a star that is falling, and all the heights look like receding, going back, as if they are fleeing from him. Compelled to fill his human house in time, his soul drew back. His soul is now compelled to occupy his human habitation, his being, his body, his mind, situate in time. So long he was occupying, so to say, the upper story. Now he has come down to that part of his house in time, not in eternity. His soul drew back into the speed and noise of the vast business of created things, of this our humdrum universe. A chariot of the marvels of the heavens. Now these are all adjectives that apply to Ashwapati himself. A chariot of the marvels of the heavens. He is a vehicle carrying the wonders of paradise, the wonders of heavens, which he has seen and experienced. Broad based to bear the gods and fiery wheels, he has expanded himself so much that he is broad based now to carry the gods on impetuous, luminous, fiery wheels. Flaming, he swept through the spiritual gates. He comes down, but he comes down as a chariot of the marvels of the heavens, broad based to bear the gods and fiery wheels. Flaming, he swept through the spiritual gates. Above the mind, the mortal star received him in its midst. All the noise, all the commotion, all the mortal noise receives him in its midst. Once more he moved amid material scenes. So long he was there, he has come down, and he resumes his daily life, says, once more he moved amid material scenes, lifted by intimations from the heights. But there is a difference. He is not lost in the material scenes as normally humans do, but he is constantly elevated, lifted by intimations from the heights, communications from the heights, and tricks the pauses of the building brain, touched by the thoughts that skim the fathomless surge of nature and wing back to hidden shores. That is, he not only receives the intimations from the heights, but in between the workings of his brain, which is now exposed to the earth atmosphere, there are some thoughts that touch the fathomless surge of nature, the waves of nature. That is, they touch the highest movements of nature and wing back to hidden shores. There is an alternation between the movement of his, in the movement of his thoughts. Some thoughts touch the fathomless surge of nature, and some wing back to hidden shores above. That is, his thought movement is constantly in touch with both the below and the above. The eternal seeker in the aeonic field, a field which has been there, cultivated and trodden across ages and ages, cycles of time, and he is the eternal seeker. Ashwapati represents the eternal seeker, besieged by the intolerant press of hours. Time is flowing fast. Each hour presses It will not tolerate any respite. It must go on. That is why, intolerant press of hours, he is besieged. Again was strong for great swift-footed deeds. Ashwapati feels himself strong once again for swift-footed deeds. He is ready for action. Actions that are fast and at the same time great. He is not returning to any petty rounds of human existence. Awake beneath the ignorant vault of night, he saw the unnumbered people of the stars. The vault of night, the sky, at night it is dark, and below that vault, you see the number of stars. Now, he says the vault of night is ignorant. He couples this night with darkness of ignorance, and he compares the stars to unnumbered people. All the people peopling the earth. So between, he is alive, he is awake, he sees the stars below the ignorant vault of night, and heard the questioning of the unsatisfied flood of thoughts. They are asking answers to their questions, and toiled with the form maker measuring mind. His mind is active. Mind is discharging its functions of measuring the immeasurable, of fixing things, knowing things in their separativity, creating forms out of the formless. So he says, and toiled with the form maker measuring mind. A wanderer from the occult invisible suns. He has seen them, he has lived with them, the occult suns, sources of light, sources of life. He has now had to wander, come away from them. A wanderer from the occult invisible suns, accomplishing the fate of transient things. Even transient things have a destiny, have a purpose. And he is fulfilling the fate of transient things. A god in the figure of the arisen beast. Arisen beast is man. Man who has emerged from the animal state. And Ashwapati, he wears that form, but he is a god. A god in the figure of the arisen beast. He raised his brow of conquest to the heavens. He is not pointing his eyes below. He is looking up towards the heavens. And it is a conquering brow. He is confident. How much to be achieved, how much to be conquered. Establishing the empire of the soul on matter. And his function, his work is to establish the rule of the soul. So long it has been the rule of the mind. Now he is working, establishing the empire of the soul on matter and its bounded universe. Universe based on matter, as on a solid rock in infinite seas, in unbounded seas, there is a solid rock, and on that rock he is to establish the empire of the soul. The infinite seas are the seas of consciousness, and the solid rock is the solid matter, creation matter based, on which the manifestation is to take place. And then he sums up, the Lord of life, Ashwapati. Life is symbolized by horse, Ashwa, in the old tradition of the Vedas. The Lord of life resumed his mighty rounds. His rounds are always mighty. Even before his space was large, his rounds were big, and now he resumes his mighty rounds in the scant field of the ambiguous globe. This globe is ambiguous. We are never certain of what it is for, its meaning, its purpose. It has a doubtful significance to the mind. And after all, in the huge context, it occupies a scant field. Somewhere else, Yeshwarinda says, a small result of a stupendous force. This material universe, in a particular state of the consciousness of the self, appears as if a small result of a stupendous force. So he says here, the Lord of life resumed his mighty rounds in the scant field of the ambiguous globe. That is to say, Ashwapati resumes his career as a king, as a father, colonist from immortality. That's how he was described in the third canto of the first book. And now he is to be the father. He has received the boon. And the book four, will give us the story of the birth of Savitri and her quest for love. How Savitri is born to him, how she takes birth when all nature is at beauty's festival, and how the higher powers stand as a shield protecting the mission child. All these you'll be reading, but the first two or three pages, they are very powerful descriptions of the seasons of nature. It is a requirement of epic poets that a description of nature in her various moods, each season is supposed to be a mood of nature. Summer, rains, autumn, winter, spring, all these are described, whether it is Kalidasa, whether it is Vyasa, whether it is Sri Aurobindo. And here we will have a detailed and leisurely description of nature in passing through different seasons. We will take up canto 1 of the fourth book in our next session. We have practically completed half of the epic within 2 years, 82, 3 years, yes, 3 years and 4 months. But I think now it won't take so much time because there is a lot of narrative and things are not that difficult as in the earlier books. So we'll meditate as usual for a while.